We move in our continuum of continuing in our exposition. Take out your document. Also, open your Bibles this morning. Amen. We are going to basically focus on Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. Corroborated by the writings of what we were into last time we were before you, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. Elder Liverman is our designated reader this morning. Take your document, repeat after me, and if anyone doesn't have one, raise your hand there. The ushers will, there are some excerpts in the back, at least have an excerpt to follow us. And I said, all of those who are the regulars, don't leave home without this document. Repeat after me, scripture distinctions. Actualization in eternity, for manifestation in time. And of course, we enter volume 2, having exhausted some 4.5, almost 5 years in volume 1. We move here, volume 2, and let's go to page 7. Amen. As we move through and by the Spirit of God and directing us as we separate two spheres. One is eternal and the other one is temporary. Designated as eternity in the former and time in the latter. Dealing with the pure sphere of spirituality in the first and physicality in the latter. So we have two spheres here, and we have moved into page 7. Repeat after me, the purpose of realizing divergent significations of eternality from temporality. I said, all these allities, pastors, and no. If you don't get anything else straight, you get this straight.
Come on here.
Amen. Because this will help you to get everything else straight. When they are focused and preference by the knowledge that God has conveyed to us in the mystery writings, that where we are, amen, is in manifestation, and where things actually are in actualization. Actualization is in eternity. Manifestation is in time. We had moved down to the second paragraph, but I want to reprise the first paragraph. Now, for those who are joining us, and we welcome those that are through the webcast, either audio or video, you go into either section there, and there is an icon, and you click on that icon. And when you click on that icon, this entire document comes up, and it's very useful in helping to. Us to follow as we go through everything that we preach and teach here at the Grace Gospel Church is in writing. This is the directive and instructions God gave us as a ministry when we started here some 15 years ago. And now we see why I did not understand at the time. Amen. Oh my God, hallelujah. These glorious truths and revelations, amen, that are ours. We are blessed this morning.
Amen.
We are thoroughly blessed. For the next 45 minutes or so, hour, whatever, amen, hopefully won't run that long this morning, but amen. However, the Spirit leads us, we're going to be into eternality. Even though all of these things are going on around us, amen, we're not going to utilize time this morning and talking about things that we see, things that we have witnessed through the news media this week. This is not where our focus is going to be. Are those things important? Yes, in their place. Amen. But my God, this song says there's a higher plane. There is a higher plane. My God, that we have found. My God, and this is the ground that we are seeking to go. Now, as we reprise this morning at the top of page 7, there are some things. But before we do that, maybe we should go back and go into the glossary of definitions on page 4. Amen. There are some, page 3, I should say there. There are some definitions. Amen. The first one is actualization. Everybody say actualization. That is that which is actual, real. That which actually results into an action. The fact that is not realized in the action, it is realized in the predetermined saying that conveys the real action. Actualization is to put into action, start a process, incite a move into action, impel or motivate. Anthropology. Everybody say anthropology. The word that we use is really the study of mankind, studying us, focusing on cultural development, and historical doctrine concerned with nature, origin, and where we go in our destiny, but from the scriptural, amen, viewpoint. Asceticism, that is self-control or determination. There is no such thing. That's the hardest lesson that mankind has got to learn, is that he, that is mankind, does not control anything. You can't. We can't even control ourselves. How are we going to control the things around us? Oh my God. Then we move down to the ease. Eternality. Everybody say eternality. That is the sphere, the spiritual sphere. Everybody says spiritual sphere. Spiritual. The locale where all are complete in perfection. Everything that you need is in eternality. Already complete. No adjustments. The next one is existence. Everybody say existence. What does that really mean? That is the state of being real or actual. The current rather than imagined. And the only thing that can bring anything into existence is the Word of God. The same. That's how a thing is. It is because God has said it. Other than the fact that God has said it, and anything that God hasn't said isn't. Huh? Amen. And the last one, functionality. The process of how an entity operates or functions. Now back to page 7 at the top. We're going to reprise this first paragraph there, which we were dealing with our last audience. Eternal perspective. What is everybody say eternal perspective. And my desire is that this congregation become sagacious. Everybody says sagacious. That's having the eternal perspective, a perception of things. You see everything from eternity. To see time from eternity. To see your problems from eternity. To see your challenges from eternity. And that life is really a pre-planned replay of what God, amen, has ontologized or brought into existence for purpose. His purpose. Everybody say his purpose. So, this is eternal perspective should be more influential in steering God's people through daily difficulties. And when you look and you see things from eternal perspective, from the plateau of eternality, everything is complete, finished, perfected, resolved. That whatever we're going through is in the field of representation for the purpose of testimony. To show us just how great God is. In other words, here's a contest that has the victory before the contest starts. Whatever you are faced with and going through, God has already resolved it to his glory. But you can't see that from time. Sometimes he allows us to see the victories, but more often we're not able from the viewpoint of time. And so what the Word of God does, it takes us up into the eternal stream, the plateau of looking down upon life, instead of standing in the midst of this stuff, looking around, getting excited, getting depressed, and living in fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of what? Power. What? And also what? Sound thinking that is aligned with looking down instead of looking around. And all of these words are true. And as we look at our general theme of actualization in the spiritual sphere of eternality, everything completed, everything resolved, everything worked out to the best end. And we say the best end because whatever God has decreed is the best. Yeah, it is the best. And so from that point of confidence, we know that he who is in us, he's greater. Can you say greater? He or everything or anything that's in the matrix in time in what we call the world, which is nothing but a field of representations that are there for the sake, as we said, of us coming to realize just how great God is.
Amen.
It's better to look at a problem and know that it's already solved and to walk through the steps of having our stomach in knots and churning. Oh, God, help us each day to come to understand and know that the essence of life is already complete in Christ. The scriptures evince that human contemplations are even dimly aware of the extensive encouragement instilled beyond time courses in the eternal sphere. The only or the solitary or the lone or the most poignant or standout point of all factors is the way spirituality is supposedly emphasized. On the one hand, we say, amen, spiritual is being the spiritual. Yet, While human intervention focuses with so-called pragmatic, remarkably pragmatic attention to the temporal needs on the other hand. So we view things, well, I got to do this and I got to do this. And then I said, well, Pastor, you're saying we're going to do anything? No. It's the predetermined what you're going to do.
It is.
And when you do it, you are doing it. Amen.
<That's> it.
In fact, we must understand that it is the spiritual part of our lives that need to be placed in order for us to prosper even physically. Now, let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. I'm going to do a little exegesis this morning. Mm-hmm. Amen. It's necessary because many of the translations, even though they use the methodology of exegesis in some sense, amen, we all bring some of our background to the table. And here we're just going to let the Word of God speak and say what it is. And things that we resonate with and things that we're familiar with, well, if there's a clash, then if something has to go, it's going to be what I'm thinking. What we see must give way to what God has said. And if God has said it, that's it. That's it. What I think must be in deference to what God has declared and decreed. In the 10th chapter, we don't have time to go through this, but Paul, in speaking to believing Jews who had the background of having had a covenantal relationship with God through the Mosaic covenant, and then some even in the new covenant, he goes back and he speaks about things that and how things had worked and how they had become familiar with some things. And now he says, we're going to move now from the scene. We're going to move from Moses and the burning bush.
Oh, God.
We're going to move from the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. Oh, my God. We're going to move from the miracles of the two fish and five loaves of bread. We're going to move. My God. Hallelujah. From those that were privileged to walk on water. We're going to move. Amen. In that sixth chapter, he said, now if God be willing, amen, if God willing, we're moving. We're moving from these things. We're going to the high echelon of the knowledge that's in the mystery.
That's right.
The volume of truth that God revealed to Paul. So now we're not on the street of virtuality anymore. I mean, we're going to move, my God, beyond and transcend what is visible into the invisible. Oh, hallelujah. And so he starts out, although what you read, that first, the first three verses in the King James, and then we'll go to the Greek. That's Hebrews chapter 11, starting with verse 1.
Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with the first verse.
Everybody got it, amen? Everybody got it, amen? All right.
Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
What is he saying this? In fact, I think I'm about to come out the gate exegeted. Let's go to the interlinear. Just that first verse.
Hebrews chapter 11, first verse in the interlinear Greek text. Now is faith of things being hoped reality,
mm-hmm,
of things
proof.
Not proof, not being seen.
Now, it sounds like a crazy man, doesn't it? I mean, to our thinking. Here he's saying, and you notice he starts out basically there. He uses feb, and it's translated now. I have no problem with that. He could say and or but. Mm-hmm. Amen. Faith is substance. Mm-hmm. No. What I can see, touch, taste, physically handle, and I'm able to humanly relate to is substance. No, it's not.
Jesus.
Not when you understand that substance or existence is according to the same, which we'll get to in verse 3.
Glory. Yes.
The first avenue is imparted faith. And you'll see in all three of these verses that it is the medium. Oh, we're not going to argue with the atheists and say, well, I don't see that. That's as far as your comprehension is what you see. Now, I don't see it in the physical sense, amen, but faith is not given for, amen, receiving the communication of physicality. Faith is not for the seen. Faith is for the unseen.
Yes. Amen.
So now why are we focusing on the unseen? Because that's the real deal. Here's how it works. You've got something that's eternal. That's forever. According to, what's that, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18?
Yes.
We're not looking at the things what?
Being seen and seen.
But we're looking at what?
The things not being seen.
Because the things being seen are what?
Temporary.
And the things not being seen are what?
Eternal.
So here I have something, follow me now. There's unseen. Listen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, how great.
That's not physically discernible, but it has abiding, amen, stature. Then I have something that is seen. But the problem is, I may reach out a moment later and it's gone. It's temporary. So if I have something that is seen and is temporary, are not lasting, and I have something that is not seen physically, but it's forever. That means that should be a no-brainer, shouldn't it? But no, that's not how the depraved man works.
No, that's right.
Oh, we talk about Esau. Say that knucklehead gave away his birthright for a bowl of beans. Well, he was hungry.
Yeah.
What does the prophet? What would the what? What? What does this? What's first in line on a prioritized basis for the priority? Feed the flesh. Caring about no birthright. But you see, it is imparted faith that causes us to progress beyond what we see.
Amen.
To get to the realness of the real. You've got to penetrate the seen to get to the unseen.
Amen.
What does verse 2 say? Read from first the King James.
Verse 2. For by it the elders obtain a good report.
Let's hurry up and get to the Greek. Come on, it's not wasting the time there.
Hebrews 11, verse 2, interlinear Greek text. By this, for obtain witness the elders.
He messed that up too. When he said it, he's talking about faith. They didn't obtain something. They received something.
They did.
Faith is not given to you to obtain something.
Amen.
It is for you to receive communications from God.
That's right.
That word there, Brother Deacon, you got your Greek?
Yes.
What is that? That verb is in the, it's an aorist indicative. What's the indicative mood?
Fact.
What's the aorist tense?
Completed.
It's completed action. Mm-hmm. It is a pre-designed, pre-purpose action.
Robert.
When was it given?
In eternity.
You have the aorist tense there. Mm-hmm. And to seal it. It's in the passive voice. The passive voice means something that is bequeathed to you, bestowed upon you, granted to you. Not something you went out and get. And I used to hear people talking about the Holy Spirit. You get the Holy Ghost. Come your Holy Spirit. No, you don't. In fact, you never get him. He got you in eternity. Oh, give the God praise this morning. So they were given faith, and through that faith, they were able to receive communication with God, from God, that allowed them, amen, the advantage of the unseen over the seen. And so as you go through this 11th chapter, you see different ones that did different things, and some of them have coined this the heroes of faith. We don't use that word around the hero unless we're talking about God. No, because these same people, every last one of them that did something, they did something else that's not worth mentioning, right? And the difference is when he allows you to see through time into eternity, through physicality into spirituality, through processes into his purpose. And now we see things from where God intended them and why God brought them there. I heard someone talking about some experience of hardship that they went through. God brings hardship into our lives. Don't blame God. The devil. Again, Job. Who brought up Job?
God brought him up.
Huh? And who gave devil permission to? God did. For what? For purpose. No. We look at and we prioritize time and physicality, where everything is up in the air, instead of focusing on eternity, where nothing is up in the air. In time, nothing is complete. In eternity, everything is complete. In time, nothing is stable. In eternity, everything is stable. And why do we come here each week and we focus on the essence of who God is and who we are in him and what he has already accomplished? Because that's where the real action is. Otherwise, you go through the roller coaster, ride like everybody else. Many days not knowing up from down.
That's right.
What we going to do? Somebody came to me and wanted me to help them figure out, quote, what to do. And I said, no, let's turn this conversation around.
All right.
Let's focus on what God has already done. Not what we are going to do. Because what we ultimately end up doing is a product of what God has already ordered for His purpose. Now we pray for faith. I say your biggest fight is the good fight of faith. The answer is in what God is doing, not what I'm doing. It's in Him. Everybody say it's in Him.
It's in Him.
Oh, look at that clock. We move now to that third verse. Hebrews 11:3 from the King James verse.
Hebrews 11:3, King James.
Mm-hmm.
Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear.
All right, let's go to the Greek. And Elder, read that very, very, very slowly. We're going to stop and we're going to do some exegesis there. And because what we are going, amen, to carve out of this is the actual, literally, what the manuscripts, copies of the manuscripts, copies of the original, amen, manuscripts actually convey here. We cannot begin to explain until we actually get the actual utterance of what is actually being said. All right, very slowly.
Hebrews 11:3 in the interlinear Greek text. By faith we understand.
Stop. My friend, the only way you're going to understand is through the faith that God gives to you. How are we going to figure God out? And we wonder why we can't figure things out. Because you can't get to the bottom of it looking at the process. The process is how that thing is moving and how virtuality of it is before you and what it seemingly is expressing. And amen, that's here. It's how do we understand what it said? Mm-hmm. By faith. If it's in the matrix and it's down on display, why can't I understand it by looking at it? Because of what you're looking at. What am I looking at? Nothing. You're looking at light. The light shineth into the darkness. But the darkness can't apprehend it. And so what you see is not really what you get. And how that thing seems to be is not what it is. Then what is it? It is whatever it is in purpose. So we don't look at it and say, what is it? What do we say? What is it for? Why did God bring this and place it into this frame in the matrix?
Yeah. Yeah.
The workings of it are according to that which is preset and preassigned.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
God's purpose. Everybody say God's purpose.
Not our purpose.
Not our purpose. Oh, God help us to see that life is not about us. Life is not a... You know, don't have a reason of yourself for living. We don't have an agenda. All we have imaginary, what? Itineraries, but God has the agenda. And that reason that thing didn't flow according to your imagined itinerary is because that's not what it was. The light shining. And of course, amen, depending upon the angle, it could be blurred. And this is why Paul, in writing to Corinthians on one occasion, he said, we look through the glass, what? Obscurely. Obscurely. It's a puzzle. Enigmata, that word is, which we get the word enigmatic from, or enigma, which means what? It's a puzzle. We draw a blank. The longer we look, the dumber we get. In the Old Testament, it said, lean not to what?
Your own understanding.
That's the Old Testament. Something happens and that thing turns you all the way around from where you thought you were going or you thought you were going to do. Scripture and spiritual knowledge allows you to see that there was no way you were going to do that. If I had, I would have no. There was no way that you could have done what you thought you were going to do. Hear me this morning. This is going to help somebody and keep you from having a bad day where you started out to do something and you ended up doing the opposite. Or you were expecting something and you got something else. Now you're forlorn. You're confused. You're frustrated. You're disillusioned. Because it didn't fall into your agenda. Again, my friend, God has the agenda. And you know what? His agenda is the best agenda. What God has for you is the best for you. It's the best thing that could happen to you. Oh, come on, Pastor. I lost my job. If God has decreed it for purpose, it's working for you, not against you.
Hallelujah.
I lost everything I had. God has purpose for it. I mean, Job got stripped, didn't he? But his ending was better than his beginning. Joseph, sold into slavery. Ends up down in Potiphar's house, and then he's accused of something that he didn't do and ends up in prison. But his ending was better than his beginning. And he said to his brethren, you meant it for evil. That was your agenda. But God, everybody said, but God. But God. Say it again, but God. God's agenda was for good. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah. Pastor, that's nothing but a sack job. No, it's not. Some of us have gone through some things that we thought was going to kill us. Then you think that thing was going to kill you. But you're here, aren't you? And not barely. No, don't say, but barely. No, you are here. You're victorious. We're not victorious. We're victorious. Oh, hallelujah. Because of who we are. Finish that up.
Hebrews 11, verse 3, interlinear Greek. By faith we understand to have been adjusted.
See that? That's we're straightening out. Go ahead.
The ages by a word of God.
Stop. Look at that Greek word, katathis, there. The root word there, katathis, there, in the Colossians 1:16 is aftis, there, which the root word is created. Anytime you see kata, it means what? According to. So here he's saying creation, and here again, Brother Deacon, what is that?
Perfect
indicative. Indicative mood against the pastor. No. Hey, just follow. Indicative mood what?
Back.
Perfect tense what?
Completed action.
With what?
Ongoing.
But you got to go back to the fact that it is completed. Mm-hmm. And then it's passive voice. Mm-hmm. So here it is saying, as that reads there, in case we have some Greek scholars there, katathis there, tous onas, pneumati theou, which is saying that creation, how a thing comes into being, is according to a saying of God. Creation, existence, is according to a saying of God. If God hasn't said it, it can't show up. That goes for objects, whether they are animate or inanimate. And it goes for events and occurrences, occasions. That thing jumped up in your life because God ordered it. And that's what this is saying. Because faith is substance which deals with God saying.
Amen.
And we cannot receive the communications of God saying except through imparted faith. The purpose of faith is for us, amen, to comprehend what God has said. And so this is what our focus has to be on, what God has said. This is why we keep our heads in this book. Instead of looking around and trying to figure out things. And I'm not saying that there's some organization, the Red Cross or so forth, or wherever, you know, go work and be a part of it. Of course, don't do it on Wednesday night. Amen. It's Bible study. Now, the first thing we do is we look in the book. Why? Because everything that you need to know is according to a saying. Everything is intelligized to come into being according to God's saying. And you notice it's always in the singular number. One saying. Because there are no what? There are no sequences in where? In eternity. Those sequential, amen, depictions, they're what? They're for time. They're broken down into components to be conveyed to us, to our finite minds. Infinite God doesn't, doesn't need sequencing. Even though there's order to everything. The essence of it, it is all in one. All in one. All in one. All according to one. Colossians 1:16, what? In him? What? Through him? What? For him. Let's do that again. In him, through him, for. Let's do it one more time. In him, through him, for him. Now, we're ready to see and comprehend the things around us. Now, what's the advantage and the results of knowing this? Finish that up.
11, Hebrews 11:3. By faith, we understand to have been adjusted the ages by a word of God, so as not out of things appearing,
the thing being seen,
to have become.
See that to be have become there? No. That Greek word there. You go in there. Is what, Brother Deacon? That's in the present tense. It's all what God has said. So you don't look to the scene to get what's the understanding of what's appearing. What do you look to? Where things have been created according to a saying. So we look into the Word of God for the answers. Not around us, so that we can, quote, figure this thing out. That's what has scientism all baffled and confused and frustrated. Mr. Stephen Hawking got so frustrated, he wrote a paper that said God didn't create the universe. And everybody got up and said, and I said, for what? What does the Word of God say? All right, time is just about gone. Let's go to page 7. Let's go into the second paragraph. We'll get one paragraph done today. Everybody got that where it says, in the present modernity age. In the present modernity era, that is, some so-called faith groups strike the popular and familiar chord of what is communally discovered rather than what is scripturally gleaned. You know, we like to do things through convention or through committees. So what is the prevailing opinion? Say, but the majority, God is the majority. The one saying. And if everybody else says something different from that saying, you go with the saying, because all they're doing is going by what they see. Spiritual knowledge. Everybody says spiritual knowledge. Exudes in eternality what is the remarkable sphere of actuality, transcendent what things seems to depict in the worldly, that's mundane, worldly scenery of physicality. While the latter resonate, that is what we see in humanism, its recourse materialism, it falters in its habitable dilapidation. What are we saying? That thing is crumbling as you're looking at it. It's deteriorating as you look at it. And you're going to depend upon something that's crumbling and deteriorating? No. What does the Word of God say about the matter? Consequently, its alternatives and remedies of substance, that is what sustains it, it resort in imaginative provisions of detailed instructions, and this is where we're going, storing food and where our fair forms, encounters of unforeseen emergencies. And I'm not saying, you know, don't do this, that, and the other, so forth and on. Don't depend upon that. Your trust is in a living God.
Amen.
Your trust is in a living God. We go there. Further such reliances is in employments of storehouses with solitary register in uncertainty versus riches of goods on the unlimited stock shelves of perpetual assurance. And I'm saying you got a sure word of understanding there. Amen. Amen. That's not going anywhere. And that's what action is. There you are grabbing at straws. Like I said, I'm saying you're going to spend some time and you have some time and you want to volunteer with the Red Cross. Or some of these organizations, they do a pretty good job. But that's not where our dependence is. That's not where our trust is. Your hope is an eternal hope. Purely in the physical sphere, total humanism, reliance, teaches principles. This is what gets us in trouble. Of self-reliance. That's the problem. Go and work in some of these organizations, but don't. That's you say, but this is what's keeping us up. That's not what's holding you. Because what's there will only work according to what God has said. Whatever situation you're in this morning, it's resolved according to God's saying. So, well, I did this and it came out so forth there. Amen. You can do the same thing and that thing blow up in your face. It's not about what we do. It's about what He has decreed and done. So we're always looking at God's will. Self-reliance is the worst reliance you could be in. Amen. Such value, hard work, and encourages individuals to look to their own resources first, then to their community, and lastly to scripture dependency. I'm not saying don't be industrial, but he's got this thing turned around.
Right.
Me, then I look around to the community, and then last to God.
No.
So I reach out to the thing seen first, and I use God as a last resort. You're walking backwards.
I hear you.
You're living in illusion.
Mm-hmm.
An illusion is a lie.
Amen.
No, we trust in God. We trust in the one that all things are in. Mm-hmm. All creation is according to His saying, and they are in Him. What? Through Him and for Him. Now my time is probably used up for the day. Now, we've spent about almost an hour, with our head focused, looking to see what God has said. We have not spent this hour with the things that we have seen just in the past week. Typhoon, hurricane, in this part of the world it would be called. Over in the east, devastated the Philippines, and we're praying for all of those that are displaced and hurt. It's not, we're not walking around. Please don't misunderstand those who are following us. But that's not where we are focused this morning. As we looked at the purpose of realizing these divergent significations of eternality over temporality. Why have we focused the time this morning in eternality? Why are the things addressed in eternality to be prioritized over the things that are floating in temporality? Everything concerning you in time, in life, is temporary. This is why the scripture said we're not looking at this, or we're not, it's not the scene that we're focusing on. Colossians, what's that, 3:1-2, basically. Seek the above things. Set your affection, or pay attention, or prioritize what?
Things above.
The above things. Not what? Not the things on earth. It's like, you know, that's there. But it, and so what we're saying is, what are we, why, this morning, we could have talked about, we had an election this past week up in the city of Detroit. Mayor. And every day this week, as we turn on the news, there was somebody shot and killed. Why didn't we focus this morning on that? Why don't we prioritize that? And try to come up with some solutions as to what that is all about. Why are we transcending beyond that? Because, my friend, these are all processes for which there's a purpose behind each and everything. There was a purpose in Job losing his all of his children and his possession. God has had a purpose. Joseph being sold into slavery.
Yes.
Paul had a purpose. God had a purpose for Paul being beheaded.
Yes, he did. Yes, he
executed by one of the most evil of all rulers that's ever been on the earth, Nero. God had a purpose for every one of his servants who suffered. Remain, and oh my God, because what you must understand is when you compare eternality with temporality, corruptively in the kingdom gospel, Jesus said it would be better for one who was maimed in this life and enter into the essence of eternity. Man always having been man than those who called through this life. My God, seemingly unscathed, and they never belonged to me.
Oh, my
Jesus. Focus is on eternality. And so our hope is in him.
Amen.
And old folk had it right in the old song. They used to sing, of course, hardly hear that song. Songs sang anymore. Hold to his hand.
Oh,
yes. It starts out and it says, time is what? Is filled with swift transitions.
Wow. Yeah. Jesus. Glory to God.
And there's trouble on every hand.
Uh-oh.
But in the middle of this, he says, Bill. Can you say Bill? Can you say Bill?
Bill.
Your hope. Bill. Your hope. On things eternal. Hold. God, unchanging hands where things are already worked out, and that's in eternality. And this is why our focus is in eternality over temporality. God bless you.
Come on, give the Lord a hand.